work group recommends dissolution of Navy Key BVI reporter in favor of establishing a BSB staff work group. Steve Thal and I have offered to serve as Navy Key BVI representatives to the staff work group. So with that, I will look for a motion from the floor before we can have a discussion, and then we'll carry on from there.
Al, could you just read that, please?
Absolutely. Recommendation: the Low Vision Work Group recommends its dissolution as an AET BVI reporter in favor of establishing a BSB staff work group.
All right, I will make a motion, Eileen Akers, to adopt this recommendation.
Motion is on the floor to dissolve the Low Vision Work Group as an ABT BVI work group and reestablish it as a BSB staff work group. Eileen Akers made the motion. Do we have a second?
Beth second.
Beth Rival has seconded the motion. Do we have a discussion?
Yeah, Alan.
Go ahead, Steve.
Two points. We had a meeting February 17th with Carol Jenkins, and at that meeting it led up to this recommendation. Instead of having two groups, one would be better served, and that would be through the staff. The second thing is, I did not include this in my original report, but one of the items that came up in my mind was there are some providers that don't have access to prescription services. So we were looking at, are there alternatives to deal with this? And we did come up with a couple of alternatives of, you know, places like Harvey and Lewis that might be willing to help us with that. So that's the other point that we may have to consider as we go forward. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Any further discussion?
Yes, it's Eileen Akers. Again, I think as hopefully developing more connection with the Lions, you know, this could enter into the picture going down the road as well. And also, I assume that built into this motion is that there would be board representation, the advisory board representation, as part of the planning committee. Right?
Yes, I think that's reasonable. We should make that part of the motion. So, without objection from the maker of the motion, I would ask Latanya to include that as part of the motion, that at least one board member be represented on the Low Vision Work Group.
Okay, I will include that in the minutes.
Well, is work group the right word, or would it be planning committee?
I'm going to leave that to BSB staff.
Okay. No, I don't object to the amendment to my motion.
Okay. If words matter, I'm going to defer to Andrew on the point of what it should be called, but I think we can leave that to them. So if you call something a certain thing, it may have results that you didn't anticipate.
I would call it the... I would call it the Fraternal Order of Low Vision Policy, something like that. That name is nice. I would leave it to the director, Carol Jenkins, to name it, because she may have other groups and she might like to have consistent naming so people know what they are. I would leave it to Carol the way you're suggesting.
Yeah. Good idea.
Thanks, Andrew. Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, what we're going to do is I'm going to ask for a roll call on this vote so we can make it a matter of record in case anybody wants to somebody wants to look it up or has objections or what have you. So, LaTanya, I'm going to ask you to read the role of BSP board members, and then you can either say aye, no, or abstain, whenever you're ready.
Okay. I'm sorry, I'm clearing my throat. Okay, so...
LaTanya, you have to unmute.
Oh, sorry. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you could speak up a little bit, that would be good.
Okay, can you hear me now?
That's great, yes, thank you.
Okay. Alan Sylvester?
I'm going to pass on this round, unless there's a tie. I'd rather not vote because it's scaring something that requires a tiebreaker is usually not a good idea. CFS is there to vote, so go on to the next person.
Eileen Akers?
Yeah.
Catherine Guzman?
Yes.
Stephen Thaw?
Yes.
Mary Silverberg?
Yes.
Elizabeth Rival?
Yes.
Okay, and that's the only... I just named all of the members that were present in today's meeting.
How many is that? Is that more than six?
One, two, three, four... It's five.
Five?
Yes.
Okay. We have a problem. Mm-hmm. We don't have quorum.
There are other votes, though, that I don't think were called.
Oh, wait a minute, Mary. Mary, you're a member of the board, aren't you?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, last time I looked. No, but I'm not sure if all the names of board, all of the board members were mentioned.
The ones that are here were.
Yes.
Yeah. Except Mary. Did you call me? Did you call on Mary?
Yes, I did.
Call me.
You did? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have Samuel Price who's not here.
Ben Bryant is not here, that's correct.
And Andrea.
Andrea's not here.
Yes. So those are the two board members that are absent today?
Yeah, that's just it.
You have if you only have two absences, you must have a quorum.
That would definitely leave nine of them. Would it not?
How many members are we? Randa quit.
Yeah, we have two vacancies as far as I know.
I believe one of those email addresses is for the late Steve Famiglietti, by the way. So
yes, right.
Okay, so he has to be taken off too.
Yeah, he's one of our vacants. No,
so
that makes
out of the members that we have, how many do we have out of that group?
Mary, Catherine, Steve, yours truly, and Eileen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's five. And then who's not here? Andrea and who else?
Samuel. Andrea and Sam Price. That's seven.
And then Randa's. Oh, Catherine.
Yeah.
Is Randa's a vacancy at this point?
Catherine Guzman, yeah. No, we got her.
So you're only missing three people.
So
we're only missing three people. Okay, but how many board members do we have? Minus three. We have 10. We're still at.
You have eight now. You have eight because
eight.
You don't have Steve and Randa. Steve Famiglietti.
Right.
Right. So I think
before that we were 10. So we have eight, which gives us a quorum.
Yeah, you have five of eight.
Right. That's five.
That requires me to vote. So I'm going to vote yes, and that'll make it unanimous. And so the motion passes. Boy, that was close. Okay, so the rest of the low vision work group, the rest is talking to the low vision work group. Steve, I'm going to give you the floor and ask if you have anything else you'd like to add.
Well, I just want to mention that it was a pleasure to work with members of the group. And what our whole purpose was to be a bridge, to try to get as much as we can about the low vision group. So I'm thankful that everybody came to the meetings and contributed, and now we need to move ahead under Carol Jenkins, the direction that we need to go. So I thank everybody, and I look forward to working with the rest of the group as we go forward.
Thanks, Steve.
I think the final thing I'll say is that low vision providers now, we need to make sure that we have them represented geographically. For example, you don't want to have them all in Hartford, all in Fairfield County. So we need to be aware of that as well as we go forward in trying to bring in low vision providers as well. Because that could be a serious problem if they're all grouped in one area. So thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the honor and pleasure to do.
Thanks, Stephen. I thank you for your excellent work on this matter. Your leadership has given this committee its impetus to move forward, and because of you, I think we've done a lot more than we would have otherwise. So I thank you for participating and for your leadership.
Thank you.
Moving on to the next item, we have three other committees: Education, Employment and Training, and Technology. Technology is without a chairman. Education is without membership. Employment and Training. Beth, you're Employment and Training, are you not?
Yes.
Okay, do you have anything that you wish to report?
Well, I can send a written report, but Lean did the brunt of the work over last year due to my moving. And this year we interviewed Mary Berger extensively, and they were awesome, by the way. Everyone that we interviewed, maybe five or six people, they're all great. The problem is they're all wearing two and three hats because of the unemployment. We have many positions not filled. Therefore, we decided to put it on hold because we can't come to a conclusion. And so we don't have a final report, but I will give a written report to you and you can send it to the members this afternoon. So we feel that until you have a technologist and someone in charge of these different jobs, that you can't possibly get suggestions when you don't have people employed.
I'm not sure that you even need to issue a report, Beth, because we had issued one based on when we had met. And we really haven't met since the report I gave, whenever it was, must have been maybe the June meeting. I don't know. But
yeah, it was June.
We met with Mary Bergard, I believe it was January or February.
I don't even remember. But
okay.
Yeah, by all means, I mean, if you want to report on your issue with Mary, I think that would be terrific. So what I would suggest you do is...
great, but they're all wearing double hats.
Yeah.
Really taking over these positions.
Yeah. So I suggest that they send a report to LaTanya and ask for the distributive with the minutes. That way everybody will have it. I mean, it doesn't have to be lengthy or elaborate.
Right. Just, okay.
Say what you want to say, and then we'll carry on. And I thank you, and I thank Eileen for your leadership. Yeah.
Well, Eileen did most of it, but yeah.
No, that's not true.
She deserves the credit.
No, she doesn't.
Okay.
Well, you guys, you're doing you're doing a good job, and I appreciate it. You guys put a lot of effort into it, and I don't want it to go unrecognized. So thank you.
But it's also worth noting that, you know, the new director needs to get more familiar with what's going on in this area as well. So
yeah.
You know, we have to work in tandem with that consideration as well.
Right. Yeah, and that's just a matter of time.
That's
take a little bit of time for not just to get to know the program, but to get to know the players as well. And,
that's right.
You know, but this is a really good start, and I think it's going to be we keep going with this. That we're going to do just okay. So let's move on then. Unless there's something else you got that you wanted to add, Beth or Riley.
No.
Or if anybody has any questions while we're at it. Anybody got any questions? Okay, hearing none, then let's move on to the next item. We have administrative items. Progress on filling vacant and anticipated positions. Carol, I'm going to give you the floor on this item.
Okay. So vacant positions, we still have quite a few. I'll see if I can rattle all these off for you. I'll start with VR. Positions that we have posted that are vacant, we have our vocational rehab counselor, the one that we prefer to be bilingual. And then we have two transition counselor positions that were, the job is posted, and we're gonna hire two applicants, hopefully, since it's the same job. We still have in VR the technology rehab teacher positions that are vacant, and hopefully that will be the next on the list to refill. Mary, did I miss any?
No, that was it. You said the bilingual, right? You kind of froze up initially. So we have the bilingual, two transition counselors, and the technologists. Yes, thank you.
Yeah. For adult services, we had positions posted that have closed, and for a rehab technology teacher position, hopefully by the end of the week, a job offer will be made. The other rehab teacher position that we are wanting for technology, we're working on getting that one reposted. And then children's services, at the moment is fully staffed, but we're looking at those staff positions and the budget to see if we can maybe add a couple positions, not sure yet. And VEP is currently fully staffed at the moment. For clerical, we had a Secretary 2 position posted. It closed, and we are working on scheduling interviews for those. And we have a Secretary 1 position that is posted. And I don't recall the date that it closes, but it's soon. And then hopefully we'll have applicants to interview from there. Other positions that we are looking at BSB, I'm working with fiscal to determine what funding we have and, you know, where that funding is to see, you know, what other positions we could potentially hire for.
Carol?
Are there any questions? Yes.
It's Chris. We also have a vacant social work position in adult services that was created by the retirement of a social worker. I know we're not sure how that would be refilled, but that's another position.
Right, but I'm working with fiscal to make sure the funding still exists for that position. So that's part of the positions that I'm working with fiscal to see if the funding is still there.
Carol, Stephen?
Yes.
The two transition counselors, is that for the VR transition program that we're required to take a percentage of the VR funding out to cover it?
Correct. The pre-employment transition services, yes.
So there's two counselors for that.
Yes, and we currently have none. We just have one transition coordinator.
Okay, thank you.
It's Eileen. Could you review for me the O&M staff, how many we have, and where their positions are?
Sure. We have three O&M staff. Chris, do you want to describe where each one of them, like geographically, what they cover in the state? I think you're muted.
Sorry about that. Thank you very much. We have Matt Cornelius, who reports to a duty station in Cheshire and covers the territory pretty much from Meriden south to New Haven, over towards the Connecticut River and a little past there, and also down to the New York border along the shoreline, and not just along the shoreline, but up a little bit. David Ferland's territory starts in Danbury and goes up along the New York border all the way to the Massachusetts line, and then comes across pretty much across 84 all the way to Hartford, and up to I-91. And Glenn Jablon, who was added just about a year ago, two years ago, it covers from 91 over to the Rhode Island border and then down towards the shoreline as well.
Is any consideration being given to trying to hire any more O&M staffing?
So we had a fourth position that we were attempting to fill when we were able to hire Glenn Jablon, and meeting together the team of mobility instructors felt that if we could better use that position elsewhere in the program, they could cover the territory with just the three of them, and they've been doing an excellent job of that. That's one of the positions we freed up in fact, that's how we created the first technologist position that Carol referenced. We are we're trying to refill. And then somewhat less than a year ago, we had a retirement of a social worker. That's the other position that we're hoping to refill, perhaps as a technologist. So, they seem to be doing just fine, serving the needs statewide of all adult clients, whether they're active in adult services or in VR.
Okay, and then what about children's services?
I'll let Catherine take
it. Hi, Eileen. We currently have three O&M instructors. Debbie Whiteley is our newest, and she covers Central and Northern Northwest Connecticut. Kendra Jennis covers Eastern Connecticut, and Gianna Cho covers Southwestern Connecticut.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any further questions for Carol? Hearing none, thanks for the report, Carol. Moving on now on the agenda, we have the Bureau Program Updates. We have Adult Services and Children's Services. Chris Lassett, I will give you the floor.
All right, let me unmute again. I did circulate this report, I believe, to all the members of the board late yesterday, but I'll go through it as quickly as possible, and if anyone has questions, to those whenever. I just summarized that our adult services staff now consists of three social workers. I'm sorry, four social workers: Johnny Vega, Lindy Gatling, and our newer hires, Jaime Ortega and Margie Santos. We have three rehabilitation teachers: Jonathan Gansfried, Mark Rafferty, and Pat Tavares. And as I mentioned, three mobility instructors. We also expect that the rehab technologist position will hopefully be offered by the end of the week, as Carol said. We have a vacancy, and for the rehab teacher that we were not able to hire when we interviewed not long ago for both a conventional rehab teacher and the rehab technologist. And as I said, we lost a social worker, well less than a year ago, and we're hopeful of being able to creatively use that position. Additionally, Laurie St. Amant continues as the volunteer program coordinator, and I supervise the other staff in adult services. The 7OB report was filed timely with the Federal Rehab Services Administration in late December, showing nearly 600 clients served during the previous federal fiscal year through September 30th of 2022, with adult services serving nearly 400 more current clients of the agency. And we are now working to, we've instituted some safeguards to ensure that every client served is in active status when they are receiving assistance, either through independent living, one of the two independent living programs, or vocational rehabilitation, where we continue to assist with certain clients, especially all those in need of mobility. Adult services staff continue to conduct outreach activities whenever possible at health fairs and other events throughout the state. There's been a renewed effort to educate the staff of eye doctors' practices in the state, and we continue to collaborate with the staff of group homes funded by both DDS and Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services to explain the mobility needs of their residents with legal blindness, how to assist clients with Human Guide, and any other, we often cover subjects that are more related to rehab teaching in some of those outreach efforts, and we are seeking to resume training sessions for newly hired Connecticut Transit bus drivers again. Those had been done by a combination of the mobility staff with some assistance from the rehab teachers. We've just begun a year-long intensive consultation and training program provided by the Older Individuals with Blindness Technical Assistance Center at Mississippi State University, with the aim of further refining and improving services to the roughly 70% of our client population aged 55 and older. And these consulting services are provided free of charge by our federal funder. And I want to appreciate Carol for reaching out and getting us approved as one of probably less than three of the clients nationwide who will receive this intensive consultation during this year. Let's see, social worker Margie Santos continues to provide case management and grant expenditure tracking for the clients receiving community inclusion and technology assistance through the Deafblind Advisory Committee. The state funding there totals about $240,000 annually, and qualifying clients can also receive electronic and telecommunications devices with additional funds provided by the Federal Communications Commission through the Access Through Technology program. Social workers Jaime Ortega and Johnny Vega continue to provide translation services for clients speaking only Spanish, both within adult services and especially during the absence of a Spanish-speaking counselor in VR. They're translating for quite a few clients in vocational rehabilitation as well. Also, I think occasionally helped out with parents who speak only Spanish and whose children are being referred for children's services. The adult services budget, unfortunately, here's the bad news, now provides only about $35,000 of usable funding annually, down from about $108,000 when I first arrived. With the guidance, and we once we have paid for our two field staff positions who were funded through the Older Blind Grant, we only have about $20,000 annually to serve the client population of folks 55 and older. So you can see that, well, we have about $55,000 annually to expend on clients. And once you take the calendar out, that's probably around $50,000. You know, we're serving, you know, we expect if we manage to serve only clients in open status this year, we'll be approaching 1,000.